Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. Again, we come back to 2 Timothy this evening. We go to chapter 4 this evening, and we're going to be looking at verse 17. We won't look at as much in the letter as we did this morning, but we will pay attention to verse 16 in a moment, so please keep it open. But the text this evening is verse 17. Let me read it for us now. Hear the word of the Lord. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I won't be looking closely at much of the details of the verse, so let me read it one more time and highlight what we're focusing on. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the part I want to really highlight on is the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. And obviously what relates, he strengthened me so that I could continue preaching the gospel. And that's what I want to look at with you this evening, thinking and connecting it with what we looked at this morning. The message this morning, the word of God is not bound. The message this evening is you are not bound. Beloved, you are more likely to stand up for something and to stand up to opposition when you know you are not standing alone and that you have others standing up by your side who have your back. The same is true for an unfettered gospel witness and service. Even if you find yourself chained down in some way for it, as we know and reviewed this morning, Paul often is. Even if you're avoided by people for what you stand for, that you've looked at and you know this is what the word says, possibly that you might feel laid out or lying down in isolation, tempted to stand down. But God delivers and strengthens his people to continue his calling on them, to call others to him by standing by them. I give that to you as the main idea of what we're looking at, focusing on this evening. God delivers and strengthens his people to continue his calling on them, to call others to him by standing by them. Look at the first part, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Well, what's he referring to? It's kind of when there's a therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Nevertheless, let's not miss. All right, what's leading into this? What's the context? And the letter on the whole, I gave you a sense of that this morning, and we'll touch on it again tonight. But we need to go no further than verse 16, its immediate context. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. So what he's saying is, you know, in the ministry, I faced opposition. And often when opposition comes, those who may be standing with you, the sheep are scattered, right? There's times when you may find yourself standing alone for God and his word and the truth. You're not standing alone as it relates to the scriptures and to the history of the church, but often, even in the places you might think it wouldn't be the case, you can find yourself standing alone. And he says, nevertheless, though I was standing alone, no one stood with me. Just think about that. No one stood with me. What did Jesus even say after the multitude left him, to the 12 remaining? Do you want to leave also? Thankfully, no, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But the multitude left Jesus when he spoke the truth and he spoke things that people found offensive, but were true, coming from him who is the truth. The vast majority left Jesus. And even he says to the disciples, "Will you keep standing with me?" And there's a time where you might look and find it feels as if I'm alone. And you might even question, am I the only one? Am I, you don't want to trust that you have anything that's going against, the history of the church and the scriptures. But there are times when such things are abandoned, which is why there are times of reformation. When there are times where certain men end up finding themselves standing alone, even if they have people supporting them, essentially, but not in presence because of the opposition, because of the difficulty, because of the persecution. So he says, nevertheless, and he says in verse 16, no one would stand with me. Nevertheless, God stood with me. And so, as our brother Bruce now with the Lord in heaven, I would love how he would quote John Knox, one man with God is a majority. And that's all he needed. In fact, when he said God stood, the Lord stood with me, in the Greek, it actually has the idea, it could be translated, the Lord presented me. It's kind of the sense, it's not that he's not standing with him, but it's kind of like I'm bringing and presenting before you my servant. I have called him. Of course, what does Paul have to sometimes deal with a little bit, such as with Galatians, insist, I am an apostle. I was sent by Christ. In great opposition sometimes, he needs to remind them. He doesn't have to do that with the Philippians because things are going so smoothly, but places like the Galatians, the Corinthians, he's got to kind of emphasize, you need to hear me out. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it's as if he's saying God is acknowledging that I am his apostle, that I am his ordained, called servant. I am bringing and preaching the truth. God is presenting me before everyone saying, I'm with him. Don't speak against my anointed. And in doing so, I stand with him, I stand beside him, I stand behind him. This is what Paul is saying. And this is how the minister can say, I have certainty of these things. I know Christ whom I have preached. I know that it will be proved to be true on the latter day. God has shown him these things. He has particularly studied in the Word before the Lord opened his eyes on the road to Damascus. And he's saying here, though no one stood with me, God stood with me. The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood and presented me and affirmed and confirmed that this is the truth. It's as if he's saying, God stands for you, Christian, saying, I sent him. I sent her. I stand by that I sent him, I sent her. I stand by their testimony, which is of me, that I've given to them. Now, often when you're witnessing to others, whether it be non-believers or those who are not really committed and often challenging clear things from the Word of God that used to be givens, frankly, you know, the way you keep standing is that you know God is with you, confirming the authority of his word and your giving of it. And frankly, I accidentally went to Matthew 18 this morning, and when I meant to go to Matthew 28, caught myself, briefly commented, but it occurs to me again, elders, one thing that's very encouraging in Matthew 18, dealing with problems in the church, and if it gets to the point that it has to be taken to the leadership of the church, Jesus says, there I am in the midst of you. And we need to remember that's not talking directly about worship. It's talking about church government. It's talking about when the leaders of the church have to stand for the truth and have to stand against those who are opposing it. And often when you try to deal with those people and you're trying to bring them to repentance, what you find is they put up a pretty united stand against you with their chests out, with all kinds of threats, with all kinds of, frankly, bearing false witness, with all kinds of, frankly, breaking their vows and breaking what they have said they have stood for because it serves their purpose at the moment, you have to have the ability to stand. And the way you can stand, because leadership often has to go against a majority that is faulty. Ask Moses, read the book of Numbers, which frankly Paul does allude to several times in this letter. Even names some of that opposition against Moses in Numbers. How can Moses possibly keep standing? Because he was the Lord's anointed. Because he'd been ordained to that role. And that's how you keep standing. Not in your own strength, but in your calling, in your office, as leaders, as officers of the church, and as Christians, and his call upon your life, and his call for you to show yourself approved, his call for you to be a faithful witness in and out of season. The way you stand as a session dealing with issues when they all stand against you is you know that God is presenting you, he is my ordained. They are leading according to what they swore. And that is the scriptures as guided by the standards. They have to stand. They can't be knocked off. They have to keep standing on the truth of my word. Regardless of how much they go after you publicly and privately and personally. You have to stand. You have to stand. And he says, when no one's with you, even if you feel like no one's there standing with you against it, you stand yet still because you know God stands with you. He stands up for you. He stands behind you. And he will show in due season, as he did in times of testing and numbers, he will show who is with him, who he is with. The Lion of Judah stands up for you against the accusing devil who prowls after you like a lion and saves you. So you can call out such as Psalm 22 verse 21, which I wonder if Paul has in view here with what he says. Save me from the lion's mouth. When you find you are standing alone for the five solas, and I would argue probably more than anything, sola scriptura in all its application. Remember, you aren't actually standing alone. God is standing with you, so you can keep standing for him as he stands by and behind you. The word of God is not bound, so neither are you. As the word of God says, Psalm 73, 23 to 26. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. Romans 8, verse 31, after Paul goes through all the things that could be against you, Christian, he says, if God before us, who can be against us? Well, he goes through the list, and frankly, everything and everyone may be against you at times. But if God is for you, you keep standing and you don't let them move you. You keep standing on the rock who is immovable. Remember in Philippians, Paul said that his bonds were spreading the gospel, including bringing people to him, sitting in chains, standing for Christ. You're not bound. You may find yourself physically bound for serving the gospel in some way. You may find there are certain ways that you're being limited because you're a Christian in the marketplace. You may find there are ways you feel like you're bound and your influence is less. But you can pray the prayer of Jabez, enlarge my coast, and that may be in a prison cell. Or something that feels like prison. But actually, you can keep standing, perhaps being there because of what you're standing for the Lord, and the Lord can bring people there to you. You're not bound. Nothing binds you. And so you can say, as Paul did in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I am not bound. And in that context directly, I am not bound by discontentment. I am not bound by my circumstances that could cause me to have difficulty and struggle to be content. I'm not bound because I have the Word of God that is not bound. So I'm not bound to my circumstances. I'm not bound to my limitations. I can still praise God, though he slay me, says Job. I can still trust that my Redeemer lives, says Job. I can still sing psalms in prison, like Paul and Silas, and then watch him open things and bring salvation to an entire household. You're not bound. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, the Lord has you there for a reason, to unbind others, to bring the gospel of freedom and salvation to others. You're not bound. Recognize wherever you find yourself is your opportunity to proclaim Christ in how you live, in how you live with things, in how you face death. You have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Even if you feel like you're standing alone so doing. Some of us don't have a Christian family. Some of us don't have a Christian heritage. Some of us have started that for our futures. And we know what it's like to feel like we're standing alone in certain kinds of situations. But we're not bound. The Word of God is not bound. Our witness is not bound. Our limitations are opportunities. Because God is standing with you everywhere, all the time, backing you up. And trust the Holy Spirit that will give you words that you need at your moments, especially His Word. And trust also the common operations of the Holy Spirit, that He will convict, that He will impress people. He will do things with others when you act as you are, not slaves, delivered from Egypt, delivered through the Red Sea, being delivered through the wilderness unto the promised land. Saying, as you are guided by the Lord, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You remember to keep standing for the truth, beloved. Hebrews 13, verse 5, reassuring you that God is standing with you. Christ says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And frankly, whether it's in the ministry, whether it is serving as session, whether it is simply trying to lead your family or yourself as an individual in the truth, you can often feel maybe God isn't with you, because it sure doesn't look like it, because the majority is against you. Beloved, you read through the scriptures and church history, it is usually the majority that's wrong. It's usually the majority that is against God's truth in the minority. And there's a few that are willing to stand until the Lord uses it to recover, to revive, to bring reformation along. The Lord is saying, I present you and hold you out. I'm putting you before the world, and I've got your back, and I'm at your side. Or, as is said, thinking of the Red Sea, the Lord is behind and in the rear. And beloved, when your bonds, perhaps for serving the gospel or maybe due to physical frailties, keep you from being face to face and an actual embrace with the brethren, you can say, as did Paul in Colossians 2, verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And beloved, if you find yourself for some reason or other truly isolated for a season, you can still behold the birds darting and chirping outside your windows. You can still be praying and know that God is right there with you, standing for you, standing beside you, standing by you. He will confirm you are His. He'll often use your standing by His strength, as if alone, till He delivers you through that thing, to prove His power to deliver and in time to show that He is with you. Further, you are not bound by your loneliness. You are not bound by your pain. You are not bound by your sorrow, your struggles, or your depression. I didn't say you may not be those things. I said you are not bound by them. And you are not bound to think so. By the way the majority of the world speaks, and the way, sadly, more of the church and even the Reformed church speaks, thinking to be kind, but actually further and further enslaving you, when they could be giving the truth of the Word of God that is not bound, that sets you free. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And the Holy Spirit is your comforter and counselor. Do not grieve Him. Do not quench Him. You are not bound from receiving His therapy, His ministry, His consolation, His comfort, His lasting, real comfort that will help you keep standing up. You are not bound by people's labels of you that are contrary to the way the Lord speaks of you. You are not bound by people's estimations of you, by their abandoning of you, by their false witness of you. You are not bound by it. You are in Christ a new creature and free indeed. So you always are free to proclaim. You're always free to proclaim. Always. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Indeed, beloved, though you are often bothered, you are not bound. You are victors in Christ. May you, body and soul, keep standing, even if you do sometimes truly stand alone, with God always standing by you, with God always standing behind you. Yet, beloved, as you find and feel you're standing alone, you will find, as you look around, there are faithful few with whom God also is standing, who are standing for him, who will be there standing with you. Maybe sometimes because you stood long enough for the Lord to use you to strengthen them to come back around. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Now it's interesting, in verse 10, he names people who have forsaken him and departed. Paul does name names often for these things. But in contrast, only Luke is with me. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. We were looking at verse 17. Now I'm asking you to just look ahead, look back a little bit to verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Okay, so we could see that. He's recognizing how just about everybody's abandoned him. That, you know, we're people that were supposed to be standing with him. Only Luke is with me. And yet, Luke is with me. Luke is with me. And it's like in Philippians 4:15, only the Philippian church is really standing by him and supporting him. That's the main impetus of the letter. It's a thank you letter for their gift and to let them know how things are going. And he goes through their history together, and he's particularly thankful. It's not the first time. And it is in their poverty that they're helping. And he says, I only have you. And because of you, we've ministered to others, even though some of them don't seem to be helping or supporting me. I only have you. And then Philippians 2, 19 and following, it says, I don't have anyone else like Timothy. I'm going to send Timothy to you. Epaphroditus also, but I don't really have anyone else like Timothy who's going to be willing to go and stand with you. It isn't the celebrity church. It isn't the big metropolitan, everything's happening church. It isn't the one that's on the news. It isn't the one that everyone's speaking about. Only Timothy is willing to go to you. That's all I have. But he does have Timothy. And he has Luke. And he has Epaphroditus. As you start to look around as you're standing, you'll see often there are a few ready to stand by and with you, as God stands by and with you. And that's plenty. That's plenty of people, really, to be standing with you. God standing with you and for you. The right ones, right with God, having the right gospel. And I review with you, thinking of that, the story from Table Talk magazine, a Wednesday night study. William Barclay shares this story at the end of a study that I think resonated with us then, and I'd like to review it with you now, especially for some who weren't able to be there. You have a couple people standing with you, standing for the Lord, that's plenty. You stand long enough, watch what the Lord will do. He shares this story. Charles Simeon was pastor of Trinity Church in Cambridge, England, for 54 years. But the members of the church opposed him and locked the pews of the church so that for the first 10 years of his ministry, those who attended worship services would have to stand or sit in the aisles or along the back of the sanctuary. Yet Simeon faithfully ministered during that time to those who came. Now before I continue, don't miss the other part of it. Those who continually came to be ministered to. For 10 years, standing in the aisles and in the back because they were not allowed in the pews. I don't know the context. I can probably explain what the architecture was like and how that could be, but we don't know the context. What we know is for the first 10 years of his ministry, anybody who wanted to be there for it had to sacrifice also to stand literally with him. 10 years. Barclay goes on to say, in his biography of Simeon, H.C. J. Mull records Simeon's thoughts on enduring his ordeal and the outcome. So these are Simeon's direct words of his experience. In this state, I saw no remedy but faith and patience. It was most painful indeed to see the church, with the exception of the aisles, almost forsaken. But I thought that if God would only give a double blessing to the congregation that did attend, there would, on the whole, be as much good done as if the congregation were doubled and the blessing limited to only half the amount. This comforted me many, many times, when without such a reflection, I should have sunk under my burden. Barclay goes on to explain about Simeon. Faith and patience prevailed. Simeon eventually saw his pews emancipated and his pastorate at that church blessed for 44 more years. What if he stopped standing? What if he'd given in and believed the lie that God was not with him or for him? For 10 years. What if the people who did come stopped standing with him, believing what's wrong with them? It must be them. It's something, it's not, the Lord must not be with them. Lastly, he writes, as Simeon recounted the precious passages that sustained him, he often quoted Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Beloved, even when there are such times that you almost seem to be standing alone against a multitude of Pharisees calling you to recant of what the motley majority crew has dumbed down by the traditions of men, you can refuse, saying as did the great reformer Martin Luther, here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen. Because the word of God is not bound, and the God of the word stands with you in proclaiming by your mouth's testimony and your life's testimony that in Christ and by the word and spirit of Christ in you, you are not bound. And that's the message for you. The word of God is not bound, and so, beloved, you are not bound. I look forward to what the Lord is going to continue to do through the faithful few who stand with their ministers in this church. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, thank you for standing us up on you, the rock. Thank you for standing us before the world and often before the many who would challenge your ordained leadership and challenge those who would stand with them. Thank you for standing with us when we look around and it is as if there is no one. But then, Lord, as we see you standing beside us, standing before us, standing behind us, standing with us, let us begin to look and see Oh, there is Luke. There is Timothy. There is Epaphroditus. There are the Philippians. And oh Lord, help us to keep standing. So help us, O Lord, our God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all your people standing for you said, Amen. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.